This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm going to go ahead and just call the meeting to order. Kira, could we get started with the roll call, please?
Okay. Laila Abed El-Majid.
Here.
Morgan Baker.
Here.
Genevieve Bansaw. Kayla Butler. Carlo Castillo. Uchenna Chukwukere.
Here.
Lucy Contreras.
Here.
Annette Gleiberman.
Here.
Sonu Kapoor.
Here.
Amari Lampert.
Here.
Andrea Miramontes Serrano.
Here.
Estefania Perez.
Here.
Tomas Renning. Kate Santa Cruz.
Here.
Mardia Chardo.
Here.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Here.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Noah Watson.
Here.
Salam Waldai.
Here.
Valentina Shu.
Here.
Johan Yuan.
Here.
Raquel Zohar.
Here.
Lucas Zumpano.
Here.
Samuel Z. And Kat Wong.
Here. Can we get a count of members present, please?
I have 22 members present.
All righty. 22 members present. The time is 4:50. I'm going to call this meeting officially to order. Let's get started with our agenda, the land acknowledgement. Okay. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayugono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayugono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayugono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayugono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Thanks, everyone. Going to pass it off to EVP Watson for announcements and presentations.
Thank you, Kat. So first up, we have our student advocate, Annalie. She's on the call.
Hi, everyone. So this is just a super quick announcement. We are currently taking applications for the Office of the Student Advocate. We're staffing the Student Advocate, Chief of Staff, all our director positions, as well as our OSA ambassador positions caseworker position. So if you want to get involved with the office, this is your opportunity to do so. Members of SA are allowed to. If you are a voting member of SA, the only position you can't hold is the student advocate, but you can hold any other position. If you have friends who are interested in the advocacy side of the work that SA does, definitely refer them, as well as your constituents. It's a great office. I think the work that we've been doing has been really fulfilling and really amazing. So I will drop the link here. If you have any questions about applications or anything along those lines, just let me know.
Thank you for sharing, Annalie. Next we have our Director of Elections, Patrick.
Hi everyone, just a quick note to everybody that elections are officially underway. They're underway as of Monday. We had two info sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday, which were recorded. If any of you are interested in rerunning for office, or if you're not an SA at this meeting interested in running for office, please consider doing so. The elections website, which I'll drop in the chat in a minute, is the central hub for everything elections wise. And at the moment, there is still about 2/3 of all races are not competitive, meaning that currently, if the election were to happen today, votes would not be necessary for certain seats. So I encourage everybody to please consider running for office if you haven't decided to do so already. I would also really strongly encourage you to please ask others to consider the same thing. You know, between social media and especially everything being virtual, it's very hard to capture the entire student body and trying to let them know that this is even happening. So please do inform, you know, all of your friends, anybody who you think might be interested in SA or civic engagement or anything like that to consider for office. There's still 10 days to get signatures, which is a little longer than what was had last semester. So there's still plenty of time to get involved, plenty of time to run. And anybody that has run for office is receiving constant emails from me. I'm sorry. That's going to keep happening for at least until April 22nd. So just going to pass back over to Noah, and thanks all for considering running for SA.
Thank you so much for sharing, Patrick. And then finally, we have our two freshman reps, Andrea and Claire.
Hi, everyone. Claire and I wanted to announce some of the things that we're going to do for next week. We've been gathering a lot of input from our constituents, and there are some complaints regarding housing that we're going to tackle next week. We wanted just to gather a little bit of input from you guys and see what you guys thought. So we had four main ideas. Our constituents mainly complain about food thefts in the kitchen and also regarding utensils, but basically there's not enough security on the kitchens for them to actually, you know, leave food and feel safe about it, because every once in a while they get stolen food. And we were thinking about implementing security cameras on the kitchen. So we wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought. Another thing that we want to work on is renewing the facilities of North Campus, because our constituents often complain. They compare themselves to, you know, their amenities to the ones in West Campus, and they're newer, they're nicer. And in the end of the day, people, you know, they just think, oh, why am I paying the same housing as these people, and, you know, get like worse kitchens and bathrooms. So that's something that we wanted to work with housing. I called housing this afternoon and they said that these things are feasible, but they may take time. So I also wanted to ask you guys for input on how you guys think this could be done faster, because I feel like this is something that people have complained about for a long time. And, you know, we could do something nice in the near future. Then another thing that we wanted to do was free laundry. And the last thing was lighting. A lot of people complain that there's not enough lighting in our dorms. There's no overhead lighting. And Claire.
Yeah, to continue on that, when Andrea was talking to the director, she mentioned that she's surprised by concerns about the facility. So it shows that it's something that we should address, especially because we have received a lot of complaints about them. And also, while we know that free laundry is a pretty common initiative that students take on, I still think it's worthwhile to continue to pursue, especially because it helps campus become more equitable. You know, free laundry, laundry costs are disproportionately felt by, you know, low income students. And also, even if we can't get free laundry, just having cheaper laundry or some sort of limit to how much free laundry you can get would be worthwhile to pursue.
Mm-hmm. To add on to that, the things that housing said about laundry is that apparently it's being investigated how to carry on free laundry without, you know, heightening the cost of housing, which would not be ideal, because, you know, then people would have to pay money anyway. So we were sort of also wondering if the SA has any say over, you know, where we can get money from if it comes to money stuff. We also wanted to see if these are things that arise in other parts of campus. And I don't know what you guys thought about this.
Thanks. I know I texted you this earlier this week, but the infrastructure committee is also a good option. I'm sure you're in touch with them. I definitely encourage you to keep reaching out. Does anybody have any thoughts or feedback? Please raise your hand. And if you have no thoughts or feedback, if you guys want to leave your email addresses we have a hand from Uche.
Hey, yes, always love this time of year because, you know, once election times come out, we love seeing more resolutions coming out. So really nice to see that, you know, we're having more people writing more resolutions for the essay. I think it's really great. I think this initiative that you're working on is super important. I really appreciate the fact that you're taking charge. So everything sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Uche.
Thanks.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. Tomas?
Yeah, I just want to say, because this was a conversation that we've had as RAs about the food theft. And my understanding was that people felt types of ways about cameras being in the kitchen because it is people's living space. And I mean, as someone who didn't have a meal plan when I lived on campus and definitely did have food stolen, I definitely sympathize. But I do think we also need to understand that it is people's living space and people might feel a way about cameras being in their living space. That's why you generally don't see cameras in a lot of spaces in the dorms. And, you know, just being cognizant of, like, we don't want people to feel like they're being surveilled in the space that they live in. So, yeah.
Can I get back at that?
Sure, I love it.
Okay, because, yeah, Thomas, like, one of the things we were considering is maybe, like, implementing locks, because I know that other universities have, like, so they divide kitchens so that only a certain amount of people can actually go in the kitchens, and then they have, like, several fridges so that only a certain amount of people can actually access each fridge. And I know that currently we have something like that, but implementing a lock for each fridge for the amount of fridges that each kitchen has right now would not really be feasible, because that would mean that, like, a lot of people would actually have access to locks, and that would mean that, you know, the keys could get lost, and, like, the more people that have access to fridges, like, the more it is likely for other people to actually have access, you know, like, friends get the key and stuff like that. So another thing that we were thinking, because the lock thing doesn't seem to be working, is that, you know how in West Campus, they have, like, a little code to enter kitchens? We were thinking of, I mean, like, implementing that in each kitchen, but I feel like it's fairly easy for housing to say that that's going to be, like, a huge, you know, a huge problem, because it is going to take a lot of time and money to change each door for, like, a little lock. And also, like, the more people that know the code, the easier it is for actually, you know, for friends or, like, anyone to just go in and know the code, because you remember the codes. And also, we felt like security cameras could also tackle other issues, because if you think about it, there's no really, I don't know if there's a security system on houses, but there's also, like, several incidences that are carried out throughout, like, the dorms. Like, I don't know, like, every once in a while in my dorm, for example, we got someone punched the wall, and, like, you know, nobody knew who it was, or, like, someone stole microwaves and nobody knew who it was. So we were thinking that that could also be a way to tackle it. I don't know.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that question and response. We have another hand from Johan. Floor is yours.
Just want to add it to Tomas' point. I'm also wondering what's the legality issue with adding cameras in, you know, private living space, especially in dorm, because I believe there are probably some law codes restrict on that. So I'm not sure if that's legal to do so.
If anyone knows anything about that, that would be great, because, you know, I'm not really knowledgeable with, like, the whole legacy point. So.
Okay, sure. Mardia?
Yeah, I just wanted to know how big of an issue that actually is. People stealing people's food, and is it, like, an epidemic that we need to have such, I don't know, measures against it? I don't know. Do you have, like, any numbers or anything like that?
Yeah, I ran some polls, and, like, around 20% of constituents actually say that they get stuff stolen in the kitchens. A solid 70% or, like, 80% say that they do get a lot of food stolen. And, you know, our constituents do complain, so that's something that we wanted to bring to the floor.
Thanks, Andrea. Could we get a clarification on, sorry, I missed the stats that you said. Was it 20% or 80%?
20% for the people that get stuff stolen, and 80% of the 20% get food stolen.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. And then how many people voted in general, just so we get a good idea of the sample?
I'll look at that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Alrighty, great. Anybody else have any questions or comments or feedback? And again, their emails, I think they put it in the chat above, so please feel free to direct any offline questions to them afterwards. Alrighty, seeing as we have no other hands up, we'll continue with the next announcement. Noah, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. There are no other announcements that I have planned. I just want to remind you guys that, like, these are probably conversations you should be having offline instead of during the assembly. that's more like committee work. And also, like, I would encourage making a Slack channel for people that are interested in helping with this in the future. And then just moving on, we're going to move into open microphones. So if any members of the community wish to speak about anything that's not on our agenda for today, please raise your hand and I will call on you. Otherwise, I'm just going to close open microphone and hand chairmanship over to our president, Kat.
Awesome. Thanks so much, EVP Watson. Alrighty, moving forward with the agenda. Let's go ahead with minutes. I'm going to give a couple seconds for folks to review the minutes if needed. And after that, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote by unanimous consent. Okay, is there a motion? Or are people still reading?
Yeah, motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Thanks.
Second.
Okay, there's been a second. Does anybody object? Fantastic. The minutes have been approved by unanimous consent. Let's move forward with our agenda. So first we have resolution 35 and 36, the first of which is calling on Cornell to end all ties with ICE, and the second is calling on Cornell to establish itself as a sanctuary campus. Those resolutions have been sent out to the box through email, and I'd like to now invite the co-sponsors to present their resolutions. The floor is yours, y'all. I don't know who or where you are, but feel free to unmute.
Thanks, Kat. Thank you. Thank you for having us here, and thank you for letting us present last week. Today, I'll be presenting our resolution. So first, essay resolution number 35, calling on Cornell to end all ties with ICE. This resolution is calling on Cornell to absolve all ties with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, including but not limited to recruitment, education, training, research, and tech equipment and software. So Cornell has historically invited ICE to participate on on-campus recruitment, has invited ICE-affiliated companies such as Palantir and Anduril to on-campus recruitment events. Palantir and Anduril, as well as other ICE-affiliated companies, assist ICE in tracking, detaining, and deporting migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. Cornell has multiple contracts with ICE-affiliated companies for education, training, services, and technological equipment. Cornell Tech has been suspected of providing facial recognition software to ICE and ICE-affiliated companies, including a recent collaboration with Palantir and Anduril to build fully automatic detect and shoot towers at the border, as well as ICE has a long and well-documented history of brutality, including raids, deportations, and family separations at the border, as well as the destruction of families who have lived in our country and communities for decades. ICE has consistently posed a threat to individual civil liberties, including but not limited to the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, constitutional guarantee of due process, constitutional guarantee of equal protection and freedom from discrimination based on race, ethnicity, and national origin. As you may know, Cornell is a home to a community of undocumented students, as well as students from mixed status families. We assert that Cornell cannot live up to these principles or its motto, any person, any study, while aiding and abetting the US government agencies that oppress, persecute, and deport undocumented community members. The Cornell University Chapter for American Association of University Professors has supported our efforts to cut ties with ICE, as well as, Cornell Dream Team, Cornell Anti-Detention Alliance, Cornell Abolitionist and Revolutionary Society, Contigo Peru, Cornell Roosevelt Institute, La Asociación Latina, Cornell American Civil Liberties Union, First Generation Student Union, CUSLAR, Committee on U.S. Latin American Relations, South Asian Council, International Student Union, Native American and Indigenous Students at Cornell, Arab Student Association at Cornell, National Congress of American Indians at Cornell, Women's Leadership Initiative, Cuban American Student Association, Cornell Democrats, La Unidad Latina, Lambda Upsilon Lambda Fraternity, Sigma Lambda Upsilon / Senoritas Latinas Unidas Sorority, Pan-African Student Association, Cornell Mundo Men's Club Soccer, Collective X, the Office of the Student Advocate, Outdoor Odyssey, Cornell Data Journal, and Do Better Cornell. So, we call on Cornell administration and students to boycott and ban recruitment attempts on parts of companies that do business with ICE and ICE-affiliated companies. We call on Cornell students and faculty to refuse to participate in research funded by ICE or DHS and other elements of the military, prison, industrial, financial security complex, and a statement from the Dream Team. The Dream Team chapter of Cornell University deeply implores you as a student assembly to pass resolutions 35 and later 36. The many years of increased harassment and persecution of undocumented people in New York, in the Ithaca area and on campus are evident of the pressing need to pass these resolutions to support the undocumented community. We've had many support, many words of support and promises from fellow students, community members, and administration at Cornell. And yet we find ourselves here today, still asking for resources, still asking for help, still on square one. Since 2017 and even before, we have survived threats of deportation and assault by students, anger and indifference from administration, being called charity cases to our faces, being targeted and outed by fellow students, and in the end, still berated by administration, asking us, what more do you want? Well, what we want is to meet our basic needs and have our basic safety protected. We want to be able to thrive at university, not just survive. We may be undocumented, but our potential and capacity to affect positive change in our communities is undeniable. So now is the time to stand with your undocumented peers and community members, people who've been fighting tirelessly for our rights for decades now. Prove your allyship, prove your humanity and dignity, prove your rational thinking and policy expertise, and help us pass these necessary and beneficial resolutions. So that's for resolution number 35. On box, there should be resolution number 36. Should I talk about it now, President Kat?
We can probably discuss the first one first because we do vote by items. So we do vote first. Stella, I can't thank you enough for your advocacy and for being here today. It's so important, the work that you do. Amazing. Okay. Claps. Yes. I see we have one hand from Lucas. So Lucas, the floor is yours.
Yeah, 100% in support. I guess I'm just interested, as it seems like where some pushback might come, Cornell Spear would be from like the graduate professional student side of things. It seems like if there's likely to be research and stuff going on or collaboration with DHS, it's more likely to be from people in those communities. I'm just curious, I guess, if similar resolution going through them, or am I right with that assumption? I mean, certainly I think from an undergraduate perspective, this is spot on, but you know, is it likely to be more pushback from graduate students?
We've been in contact with the law school and professors at Cornell Tech who have been supporting our cause. I have not heard of any dissent from graduate students. And even in that case, I still do not think that graduate students should be participating in these like oppressive research funded by DHS, funded by oppressive federal agencies.
I also want to add, we have support from essentially the Faculty Senate. And if faculty are not willing to do research with ICE, all grad students have a faculty supervisor. So if your faculty supervisor is not supporting it, then you're not going to be able to do that research anyways.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you, Tomas and Stella. We have one more hand from Mardia. The floor is yours.
Hi, thank you so much for bringing this resolution to the floor. I think it's incredibly important and I fully support it. I just have one question with one of your clauses, which is basically you call on the Cornell administration and students to boycott and ban recruitment attempts on the part of companies that do business with ICE. And I read like a article from the New York Times a while ago that McKinsey, you know, works for ICE. And I wanted to know how that will play, like how strictly are you trying to enforce the companies that do business with ICE and stuff like that? And I am in no way, you know, sanctioning what McKinsey did or anything like that. I think what they did was awful, but I just wanted to know how far you're willing to go with this.
Well, we, our idea is to start with Palantir and Anduril, who are companies that have been found guilty of human rights abuses. If the definition of ICE affiliated companies continues to expand, I'm sure you may have also read the article on Los Angeles Times about like Google and Facebook that just came out today about, you know, ICE related incidences. Then that can be something to discuss. It could be part of the national conversation too. But hopefully by doing this and pressuring companies not to coordinate with ICE or comply with ICE, then we can also have like a really good positive impact on our national community.
Awesome. That's a great answer. Thank you, Stella. Okay. That, and again, like what we do is aspirational, like aspirational, and also like we're looking for success, and there's no reason to not advocate for something just because we think it might not happen or we're worried about what might happen. No. Okay.
Can I motion for a unanimous vote?
Okay, sure. Thanks. Second. Was that Lucas? Sorry. Okay.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody object? Fantastic. Okay. So there's been a motion. I think that technically the resolution passes. So congratulations, Stella, and to the rest of the Dream Team and everyone else who has worked on this. On to the next resolution.
Thank you, President Kat. Our next resolution is essay resolution number 36, calling on Cornell to establish itself as a sanctuary campus. So this resolution is calling on Cornell to establish itself as a sanctuary campus for undocumented students, staff, and faculty. The term sanctuary campus is inspired from the Sanctuary City movement and refers to any college or university that implements policies to protect students, faculty, and staff who are undocumented immigrants. The actions of sanctuary campuses do not conflict with their legal obligations. It is not a federal offense to refuse admission to ICE officers without a valid judicial warrant. Other campuses include that are established as sanctuary campuses include University of Pennsylvania, Portland State University, Reed College, Wesleyan, Pitzer, Santa Fe Community College, Swarthmore College, Drake University, and Connecticut College. There have been ICE scares in the past following reported sightings of ICE here in Ithaca. CUPD has also disclosed that they have no formal protocol in the event that a student or member of the Cornell community is detained or deported by ICE. CUPD told us that they rely on an informal and undisclosed system of communication regarding crisis situations involving ICE or CBP. Students have also threatened to call on ICE on their undocumented peers. Undocumented students at Cornell have been recorded disclosing their status by fellow students with the intent of exposing undocumented students to the media and the public, which also increases the risk of being exposed, detained, or deported. There is also an expansion of the Ithaca Tompkins County Regional Airport into the Ithaca Tompkins International Airport, where we have Customs and Border Patrol with the ability to detain and deport immigrants stationed less than 3 miles from campus. Ithaca itself has declared itself as a sanctuary city. However, the ongoing threat of deportation and detainment persists in Ithaca, New York, as demonstrated when, first of all, an on-duty Tompkins County Sheriff's deputy called ICE illegally to report a Mexican man seeking a medical attention in 2019, and there were multiple ICE arrests in 1 month, creating huge fear in the immigrant community in 2018. Currently, there was also recently a man recently deported from Ithaca. The increased level of CBP and sustained risk of ICE interactions has contributed to increased levels of fear, anxiety, and worsening mental health amongst undocumented international populations at Cornell, especially as New York ranks fourth in the nation with 12,271 deportations of 2020. Cornell President Martha Pollack has expressed support for DACA and undocumented students, saying that Cornell, since its founding, has been committed to diversity and inclusion, and DACA students are an integral part of our community. They were brought here to this country before they had a choice in the matter, have grown up here, and are succeeding here despite significant challenges and obstacles. I believe they deserve a chance to fulfill their dreams. Therefore, available data and supporting evidence show that college campuses must do more to support undocumented and international students' health, safety, and well-being on campus. In order to live up to its motto of any person, any study, Cornell must ensure that undocumented students, faculty, and staff feel safe from detainment and deportation. And through that, we assert that Cornell University must commit to fostering a safe and nourishing environment for undocumented students by establishing a sanctuary campus, including, but not limited to, first, barring ICE officers from campus unless they possess a valid judicial warrant, instructing campus police not to cooperate with ICE or CBP against members of the campus community when an official judicial warrant is unavailable, refusing to share information about faculty or students' immigration status with ICE absent a court order, given our FERPA rights, implementing a don't ask, don't tell policy on student or faculty immigration status, facilitating DocuAlly workshops to educate students, faculty, and staff, which are already readily available, providing confidential legal support to students with immigration law questions and issues, and also establishing an undocumented resource center at Cornell University, overseen by the Associate Director for Student Empowerment and Undocumented/DACA support. For that, we assert for the Dream Resource Center, Dream Resource Centers are critical for historically and presently marginalized student populations. It supports students' overall well-being, support, and sense of belonging. Over the past 20 years, educational equity for undocumented students has steadily increased. However, there is an increased demand with an estimated 450,000 undocumented college students in the US. There's an increased demand to meet their unique needs through legal services, mental health, financial and academic support, professional development, and an increased sense of belonging on college campuses. So we do assert that Resolution 36 must be passed in order to foster a more positive and nourishing environment for undocumented students on campus. And lastly, we have a statement from a fellow co-sponsor and Dream Team member.
They say to always prepare for the worst. During my freshman year, I was forced to do just that. A fellow Cornell student had called ICE on me during my first month here. They not only put me and my family in danger right after DACA was rescinded, during a harsh time of hate and persecution, and yet admin told us just to wait. And they told us to wait, not just during my first 4 years here, but also since the beginning. How can Cornell tell me to wait for change when a right-wing newspaper tried to dox me? Admin was actually there when I was harassed, and they all knew it happened. Admin refused to act and, however, did not even punish the student that called ICE on me. This has happened to previous Dream Team members, Ithaca residents, and this threat will continue to happen unless Cornell acts and becomes a sanctuary campus. Enough is enough. ICE should be out of Cornell, and Cornell should protect its students.
Thank you so much for that true and very moving story. Thank you, Kat, for the opportunity to present. We turn it back to you.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much. I speak for the assembly, like we can't thank you enough for all the work that you've done and all that you've gone through. And it shouldn't have to come to this, but thank you for being here. Do we have any quick questions or comments? If not, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Seconded.
Seconded.
There's been a second. Congratulations to all of you. These two resolutions have passed. They'll be conveyed to President Pollack shortly. And if I can CC the Dream Team email account. Amazing. Okay. Thank you all so much for being here. Please enjoy your evenings and like get some sun today. Okay, congrats again. Moving forward the agenda, we have Resolution 37. That's one of mine alongside a couple other co-sponsors. I'll just introduce it really fast. It just creates a more accessible process for asking for religious accommodations. I think right now the language in our charter and bylaws is super clunky. You had to request that the entire SA meeting be moved like 72 hours in advance from the president, special meetings being held. And it's just, again, very inaccessible. So the adjusted language changes it so that, let me find the resolution, that the executive committee will be responsible for creating the annual schedule, and they will, like they're required to check if any of the Thursday meeting dates conflict with any religious holidays. And then also if a member of the student assembly is observing a religious holiday that isn't recognized by the calendar, they can request an excused absence by just contacting the vice president of internal operations before the start of the weekly meeting. Because again, it's typically 24 hours. We just wanna make it more accessible. Alrighty. Anybody, any of the co-sponsors have anything else to say or any questions or comments? And if we don't have anything, then I would look favorably upon a motion to vote by unanimous consent, perhaps.
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Second.
Alrighty, any objection? Okay, fantastic. So that resolution has been approved. Moving forward with Resolution 38, I'd like to invite the co-sponsors to present their resolution.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're all doing well and have been enjoying the nice weather today.
I apologize if my camera remains off. I am experiencing a handful of technical issues, but in the spirit of efficiency and saving time, this resolution seeks to add the students with disabilities rep to the list of assembly members required to sit on the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. I and my fellow co-sponsors acknowledge that the position is still very new to the assembly and is still only its first year, but the position is the sole marginalized based representative seat. It is not given a seat on the committee, and students with disabilities continue to be marginalized on campus. If any of the co-sponsors have anything else to add.
Yeah, I'm just echoing what Raquel says, like we really support this resolution and we hope you do as well. And we look favorably upon a motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Second.
Second.
Is there any objection? Okay, since there's no objection, that resolution passes. Thank you for bringing that to us. And then next we have resolution 39. I'd like to invite the co-sponsors to present their resolution.
Hi everyone, thanks for being here. So I'm talking about resolution 39, basically calling upon Cornell to uphold its ethical guidelines for international engagements. So international engagements means like going into a dual degree program partnership with another university around the world. So this conversation was sparked because there's a proposed program with our School of Hotel Administration and Peking University in China, which I'll refer to as PKU. So students would essentially get a Master of Hotel Management from our Hotel Administration School and then an MBA from PKU. When this program was proposed like formally to our Cornell Faculty Senate, a bunch of issues and concerns were raised during the meetings. So I'm just gonna go into them right now. So like the very big issue is just a bunch of academic freedom violations. So PKU has a history of academic freedom violations, and some faculty senators actually had personal accounts of when they were teaching or some of their students were attending PKU or other universities in the area. So they felt like they couldn't bring up sensitive topics and were just like walking on eggshells when asked questions that were deemed controversial. So controversial questions would be like about Taiwanese independence or Tibetan independence or any of the protests happening in Hong Kong or anything about the Uyghur Muslim crisis. One Cornell faculty member was explicitly told not to say anything that'll get them arrested when going to teach abroad in China. And so faculty are afraid about speaking up about things in case they don't get access to certain academic resources, such as like journals and so on. One PKU professor was actually fired for openly speaking about liberal ideologies and just advocating for democracy. So another issue that's been brought up with this specific university is just labor movement suppressions. So a lot of young labor activists take to the streets to protest for better workers' rights and advocate for their fellow laborers. So these are PKU students among other students in Chinese universities. So actual PKU officials have cracked down on their own students, detaining them overnight for questioning, and there are even some reports of beatings. All of these are referenced in the resolution with multiple articles if you want to take a look. So there are also reports of some of the more prominent students, like the ones leading these movements, being taken from campus and disappearing for days. Sometimes they don't turn up. And some of these students have also gone to prison for these things. In 2018, Cornell actually cut ties with Renmin University, which is another Chinese university, for doing the same things that PKU is currently accused of doing, such as cracking down on their labor activists and detaining them and beating them. So there is precedent for cutting ties with academic institutions that don't fit our ethical guidelines. Also, there has been just rape and sexual assault silencing and suppression. So just a bit of history. About 20 years ago, a student at PKU was raped by her professor and committed suicide, sorry for no trigger warning. So recently there were calls pressuring PKU admin to release more information about what happened. And so petitions circulated among students. And one student who was really active and concerned about this issue was constantly threatened and questioned by her own professors. And so one night, her professor like came into her dorm room like at 1 a.m. with her mother, forced her to delete all the information she gathered and to stop speaking out about this. This was so traumatic for her mother that her mother actually threatened to kill herself. This also happened very recently, about 2018, 2019, it spanned that time. So overall, there are general safety issues regarding our own students and faculty, and as well as the Chinese students and faculty that would be partnering with us. So Cornell has guaranteed the safety of our students and faculty, but I think it's pretty unethical to guarantee our own students that while Chinese students and faculty next door who are speaking out about these things or participating in these protests are not granted the same and can just get whisked away or taken from campus the minute they say something controversial. There's also the question if we can keep our own students safe, since just a week ago, American students attending NYU Shanghai's campus, they were detained and beat by Chinese police without reason. So lastly, there's the bigger issue of engaging with the state accused of pursuing genocide. So if you're unaware, the Chinese government is currently committing a human rights violation. There are currently over 1 million Uyghur Muslims detained in concentration camps in China's northwestern region, Xinjiang. In these camps, Muslims are forced to renounce Islam, learn Mandarin, and pledge loyalty to the Chinese government. In other words, this is an ethnic genocide. Also, a trigger warning. There have been reports of torture, psychological torment, and abuse within the camps, forced sterilization of Uyghur women to limit the population, systematic rape and sexual abuse of the same women, as well as the exploitation of Uyghur peoples for cheap labor. They have them picking cotton. Both Canada and the Netherlands have declared China's treatment of Uyghurs a genocide. Both the outgoing and current US secretaries of state have also declared the same. And as of this week, there have been sanctions put on China from the US, Canada, Britain, and the European Union. So this is not a small issue. It's a widely shared concern among several countries. So what can we do as an academic institution? Instead of continuing to partner with universities and institutions who pledge loyalty to their own government, a government that is currently committing genocide, Cornell has the power and influence to cut these ties. However, in continuing to collaborate and engage with such institutions, Cornell would be normalizing genocide, among other things like academic freedom violations and the suppression of labor movements. Cornell has general ethical guidelines laid out to help them navigate such collaborations and assist in vetting institutions. However, these guidelines are clearly not enforced, as Cornell currently has over 25 partnerships with China and other countries who have academic freedom violations, countries such as Turkey and Saudi Arabia. These guidelines call for Cornell to ensure that all collaborations are committed to academic freedom and that there are no serious human rights violations. PKO currently does not follow both of these principles. The guidelines were co-authored by the provost, who was quoted in the Daily Sun to say, quote, "We have programs in other countries in which human rights are in question," end quote. It would be highly hypocritical for Cornell not to follow its own guidelines. Furthermore, Cornell would be tainting its own reputation and name if it were to continue such relationships. Not only that, but continuing to partner with PKU and other institutions in China normalizes and accepts the Uyghur genocide that is currently ongoing. Basically, this resolution calls for Cornell to follow its own guidelines when attempting to collaborate internationally, re-examine current relationships, such as Turkey's and Saudi Arabia's relationship that currently do not follow the ethical principles. It also opposes the proposed dual degree program, asks for the creation of a committee to oversee such collaborations to make sure that they are operating ethically and safely. And I think that's all.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Layla, for bringing this resolution to the floor. Okay, we have only two hands. So I think the first one was Johan. Sorry, the hands are switching. Johan, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. My first, it's not really a question, but more like a comment, is that as the international student rep in this committee, I wasn't really aware of this resolution. And I believe we could definitely, as international rep, to get more input into resolution. So hopefully next time, if such a resolution similar to this would bring up to the table, I hope at least can, shoot me a message, whatever. So we definitely, I could, give some input in the resolution as well. That'd be very wonderful. My second point or question is what you mean when you say in the resolution, the number five action clause, that Cornell University will suspend all programs where academic freedom is in question in places like China. Are you saying that you are terminating all the academic relationships with China, or, you know, are you saying you are, you know, banning Chinese cooperations or banning Chinese researchers, or like, what do you mean when you say suspend or terminate all programs?
Thank you, Johan. So to respond to your first comment, so this resolution was written over the weekend just as a response to the ongoing faculty senate discussions. I think they're having another meeting this week to talk about this. So I just wanted to quickly get it out of the way and into the faculty senate's radar. To respond to your second question, so Cornell has a bunch of international collaborations in a bunch of different countries. And this one is the one that's right now being brought to conversation because it's the one that's being proposed at the moment. So my resolution calls for not starting this program, as well as re-examining current relationships and other academic institutions that violate the same ethical principles, because it would be hypocritical to just look at this program and not look at the rest of them all over the world.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Johan and Layla. Next we have Mardia.
Hi, thank you for bringing this resolution to the floor. I wanted to ask if I could be added to the list of co-sponsors for this resolution.
Yes, I was actually in a motion to add you and a couple others who have messaged me at the end of this.
Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mardia. And lastly, we have Lucas.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I'm just very interested in the faculty senate side of things, and it seems to be even the, is it the vice provost for international affairs even seems to be sort of in favor of moving forward with a dual degree. I don't know, just looking over some of like the presentation materials from last Wednesday, which is kind of wild to me, but I don't know, the academic side of things and the opportunities are seem to be placed above the moral, I guess, grounds. And I think the comments that you shared, like from the provost, are kind of interesting as well. So, because I don't know that I have a question, but I hope that this is certainly heated when it goes to the faculty senate. So, yeah.
Yeah. So they've actually, so this was first brought to them around February 10th. It wasn't even brought as like some sort of approval. It was just like, hey, we're doing this. Let us know what you think, because it was already approved by the School of Hotel Administration. But the debate has spanned over a month now, with like the provost and the vice provost for international affairs trying to push it through and just receiving a lot of pushback from a bunch of faculty senators, just worried about the moral side of things, protection of our own students, and stuff like that.
Awesome. Thank you for your question, Lucas, and for your response, Layla. I'd also like to highlight that, again, like administration can make these decisions. We don't have to agree with them. Faculty doesn't have to agree with them. We are stakeholders that they should be taking into account. Alrighty. Do we have any other questions or comments? Because if not, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote. I'll allow a couple more seconds if people are still thinking of things.
Motion to vote.
Okay, there's been a motion to vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you for that second. Seeing as that was not a motion to vote by unanimous consent, we're going to do voting, which means that you have to raise your hands. So right now, please raise your hand if you are in favor of this resolution. And I'm going to close voting in 10 seconds. And then later, I'm going to ask for a vote against the resolution. And then after that, I'll ask for a vote for abstentions. Okay, I'm going to close voting in a couple more seconds. Five. And again, if you're not voting, I'm assuming that you're going to later abstain or vote no. All righty. Let me look at these votes. Okay, perfect. Closing voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, that's 17 votes for. Okay, I'm gonna clear the hands right now, and then please raise your hand if you're voting against this resolution. And I'm going to ask for a vote for abstentions after this. Closing voting 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now please raise your hand if you're abstaining. And if you have not raised your hand at all, I'm going to assume that's an abstention. And again, technically an abstention is because you have a conflict of interest. Okay, and I'm not going to gatekeep any conflict of interest, but I'll accept it for now. Okay, so that's 5 abstentions. So 17-0-5, this resolution passes. Layla, thank you so much for bringing this to the floor.
Sorry, I forgot to motion to amend to add Mardia. And also, Carla said he votes yes. Sam, he was confused, I think.
Okay, sorry. I know the voting is not favorable. So that's 18-0-4, I think. Is everyone all right with just a post-vote amendment? I don't want to have to go back and redo things. If anyone is not comfortable with that, let me know. But otherwise, that's it for our agenda. Sam, is that—
Wait, can I make a motion?
Yeah, just a second. Okay. So is that a hand or, okay. And then I know Uche has something else.
Yes, I wanted to motion to bring resolution 40 to the floor. This is approving the special projects funding request for the Sexual Violence Prevention Network for their Sexual Assault Awareness Month next, happening in April. So they came to APSCOM and we talked about it in the exec. So I wanted to just bring it to the floor and approve it because it's larger, the amount that they requested is larger than 1500. Thank you.
Awesome, thank you. Okay. The resolution is being added to the agenda for today, like right now?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Do you want to present it or send it?
Yeah, do you want me to share my screen? I also uploaded it in the box. It's pretty short.
Sure, if you want to share your screen, go for it.
Okay, give me one moment. All right, excuse my tabs, but yes, so this is resolution 40. It's pretty short. So essentially the Sexual Violence Prevention Network requested $10,400 from our special projects fund because they are, in normal years they do Sexual Assault Awareness Week during the month of April, but they are expanding it this year and making it an entire month long of events. And so some appropriation committee members, we were there and we listened to the their proposal, and like, it's really great. They have a really expansive amount of programming that they're putting on that's going to be targeting different communities. They're going to be bringing in prominent speakers and sexual assault awareness, like advocates and things of that nature. So it's a really great initiative that they're working on. And this would be our first like approval for like special projects funding. So I wanted to, you know, because it's an amount larger than 1500, it needs to be approved through the entire assembly by a majority vote. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
All righty, thank you, Jay. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay, I saw a hand from someone, I think. Yes, Andrea, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I wanted to know if that's gonna be online this year.
Yeah, so most of their, I'm pretty sure all of their program is gonna be virtual. So yeah, encourage everyone to like go. They're gonna be doing a really like aggressive, like I guess, campaign to like, you know, advertise their events and stuff like that. So encourage your friends to go yourself if you can. I think it'll be really great.
Okay, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. All right. If there are no other hands, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Thanks. Second.
There's been a second. Is there any objection? Okay, seeing as there's no objection, congrats, Uche, your resolution has passed. Congratulations to everyone who passed the resolution today. I'm really proud of y'all and you're doing good work. All righty. I think that's it. End of our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Does anybody object? Okay, good. Please go outside, enjoy the sun, go catch the sunset on the slope or something. Stay safe. Have a good weekend, y'all. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.